Treshes Masechta Beya Dav Zayin. We will begin on Dav Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, Rav Huna Amar Rav had made a statement, Beya im Yitziyasa Nigmara. And the Gemara had said that perhaps it had to do with the halachas of an egg that was born on one day of Yontif, it's mutter the next day of Yontif. But the Gemara walked away from that. And the Gemara says there's a different interpretation to what Rav meant. Ella emitzios nigmaro umgadalas froichim. If an egg was hatched, then it's properly developed and will have the ability to ability to end up making chicks. But mayima, on the other hand, if the egg was found in the womb of the hen, and you take it out, such an egg, any magdalas afroichim, cannot ultimately turn into a egg that develops chicks. Ask the Gemara l'may nafkamina. Why did Rav have to say that? What is the halachic nafkamina? Answers the Gemara. Kehuda amalohu, there was somebody who asked, Beya the pachila man, who has eggs that were born from a live hen? Yavle beya the shchuta. And instead of giving him those eggs that he had asked for, he was given eggs that were found in a hen that was slaughtered. Asl kamei the Ravami. So this question came to Ravami: Is this a mekach tos or not? Is this an unacceptable situation? And Ravami paskind amluhu. Ravami said mekach tosu. It's a mekach tos v'hadar, and the money should be returned. Asked him a pshita. Of course it's a mekichtos. He asked for one type of egg, and he got something else. So the Rajva asks, when the Gemara says a statement, when the Gemara offers a halacha, and then the Gemara says pshita, that the halacha that was just stated is obvious, we could understand pshita. But when the Gemara is telling us a story, and the Gemara is telling us how Rav Ami Paskin, how is the word pshita appropriate? So many Rishonim says that the Gemara's question is that why did he have to say that mekach tosu v'hadar? Pshita is not only a question that of course what he said is true. He should have said that you asked for one thing, and he gave you something else. So, of course, there's no shaila. That's how the Rajba approaches the shaila. Another approach to the shaila is the approach of the Ritva. The Ritva's approach is that the Gemara, the question is on the Gemara. The Gemara here is telling us what Rav Ami did. And the question is, of course, Rav Ami did this, because this is what the halach is. Why is it necessary for our Gemara to say it? It goes without question. So says the Gemara, Madu Tema, I will explain what the chiddush in the story is. Haila chila kabailhu. This person meant to eat the eggs. V'haida kama pachya, and the reason he asked for pachya, b'shem the tsriva. So Rashi explains, but tsriva, eggs that are hatched are more ready to be eaten. Another pshat that I saw, the Ritva suggests, is that eggs that are hatched versus eggs that come out from their mother's womb are heavier. You get more for your money. So the only reason he asked the pachya, suggests the Gemara, is b'shur the tsriven, the two explanations that were just gave. So says the Gemara, what's the difference? What the reason is? He asked for something and he didn't get what he asked for. Answers the Gemara, l'meisla beni beni, k'mashmalan. If the entire factor was that this egg that's hatched is a better egg, so then you could say that he doesn't deserve his money back. What he deserves is that we should give him the difference. Yes, eggs that are hatched are better, given the Gemara's explanation that we just had, so they're more expensive. So if he spent money on an egg that is not hatched, that he got eggs that were found in the mother's stomach, they're not as valuable. He shouldn't have to pay the price of that type of egg. So give him the difference in price. Don't make that the whole deal is off. Says the Gemara, no, he had a specific reason as we started the shiur. Eggs that are hatched could produce chicks. Eggs that don't, that aren't hatched, as we've been learning, cannot produce chicks. And therefore, he had a right to get his entire money. And because he could make a fair claim that I was not interested just in eggs to eat, I was interested in eggs that could develop into chicks, and these eggs could not develop into chicks. So the Chasam Sofer asks a question. The Chasam Sofer asks that we know that there's a rule, ein holchem b'mamon acharoiv, and if we therefore thought that since most people need eggs for eating, that should be good enough. But by mamon, we don't go after roiv. He says, so answers the Chasam Sofer, it's not a situation of roiv. People who eat eggs, when somebody goes to buy an egg to eat, he doesn't at all pay attention how that egg was born. And since such an individual does not pay attention at all how the egg was born, that's why we would think that it's not even a question of roiv. The customer doesn't make it doesn't make a difference. Teaches us the Gemara, yes, it does make a difference, and that's why he has a right to ask for the money back. Says the Gemara, Hahu da amlu beye de dichrulaman boy de beye de dichrulaman. As we're going to learn, there are two types of way that an egg could be fertilized. An egg could be fertilized by mating the hen and the rooster. And the other way an egg could be fertilized is what's known as safna the ara. The hen itself gets heated to the degree that it fertilizes an egg. And this person specifically asked for eggs that were fertilized by a rooster. Yavle, but he didn't get what he asked for. Yavle, he got bay the safna ma'arav. So again, says the Gemara, Asla kameh de Ravami, Amalu, and he said, I didn't get what I asked for. So Ravami indeed said, Mekach ta'asu v'hoda. Again, asked the Gemara, Pshita, I asked for one thing, I paid for one thing, and I got something else. So what's Ravami telling us? Answers the Gemara, Maritem ha'i l'achilu kabailu. This person is interested in eating eggs. V'hai dekam de dichra. And why did he specifically ask for eggs that were fertilized by a male? Mishum d'shamin and tfei, such eggs are typically better eggs. And therefore, if he only is interested in eating, and there's only differences in taste, so I shouldn't be a mekach tos, all that he should be entitled to, l'may nafkamina, l'may soleh b'ne b'ne, they should get the difference in the price of this type of egg versus that type of egg. Kamash will know that they're totally different. An egg that was fertilized by a male could have chicks. An egg that softened the ma'ara can never have chicks. And therefore, there's a very big nafkamina. And this is a nafkamina for us as well. The nafkamina for us as well is that we know that an egg that has a blood spot in it should not be eaten. But there's a difference between the eggs that are softened the ma'ara versus eggs that are fertilized by a male. An egg that is fertilized by a male, if you find a blood spot in it, should be totally discarded. Because that blood spot is an indication, as we're going to be learning in the shiur, that it was developing already into being a chick. Whereas an egg that is safna ma'ara, so the minig is that we dispose of such an egg, but even though the minig is that we dispose of such an egg, that we don't dispose of the whole egg, we just take out this blood spot and we can eat the rest of the egg. Another way of interpreting the statement the Rav made of a mitzios nigmara, mitzios ruba nigmara, that once most of the egg exited the body of the mother, it's considered born. Rav Yochanan, which is Allah, the Rav Yochanan taught us, Dabar Rav Yochanan, Beish Yotze ruba me Rav Yontif, an egg that mostly exited the hen from before Yontif, and the Chazra, even though Beisil taught us at the beginning of the Masechta, the Beis Shinol de Yontav, an egg that's born in Yontav may not be eaten. This egg that came out on Erev Yontav and then just went back, the halacha is considered as if it was born before Yontav, and the concerns that we've been speaking about would not be applicable. Vikadamer, and the other version is, Mayim Tziyos Nigmar, what's the definition of Tziyos Nigmar? Yitzias, just the opposite. Yitzias Kula Nigmar, only when the egg completely leaves the mother's womb, then is it considered born. Avaloi, If it didn't come out, if it came out and then went back in, it's not considered having been born. And if at the end it gets born on Yontiv, it's also according to Beis Hillel. Lefukim with Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav is telling us that he actually doesn't agree with Rabbi Yochanan. Gufa. Hashachas Tanagailus, Motzav Abeim Gemuris. So if somebody shechs a hen, and he finds in the hen's stomach completely developed eggs, B'taras Lachlan B'chalav, even though, of course, a hen, a chicken, is fleishix, which may not be eaten with milchigs, these eggs, even though they were found after we slaughtered the mother, they're not considered pieces of meat, but rather they're considered full-fledged pieces, they're considered full-fledged eggs. And unlike meat, which of course may not be eaten with milk, they may be eaten with milk. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Im Hayim Urois Begidin, if they're still connected to inside with veins, then they're still considered meat and asuras, and they may not be, and asuras, they may not be eaten. And from here we see, says Rashi, that yesh begidin benois and tam, that if there's a shaila throughout Shas, if gidin are considered meat, this mandomer obviously holds the yesh begidin benois and tam, and they're considered as if you ate meat. Ask the Gemara, man tan al hada tan rabbanan, ha'echam neveles yaif tar, if somebody eats a neveles yaif tar, and there's a unique halacha when we speak about Nevelas Oiftar. A Nevelas Oiftar is different than all other Nevelas. The halacha is that the Nevela of a Behema or a Chaya are Metama, the person that touches them or carries them. But if somebody were to eat from a Nevela of a Behema or a Chaya without touching them, that means somebody pushed the food into his mouth, he would not be Tameh. A Nevelas Oiftar is not metamba b'magim masa, just touching them or carrying them don't make you tamei, but they are metamba beis abliya, that if you eat them, if you swallow them and they come into your throat, then you become tamei. Not only are you tamei, but it's a very serious type of tumma. It's a tumma that not only are you tamei, but even the clothing that you're wearing while you're eating this nevelas oif tamei, while you're eating the veils of tar, your clothing also becomes tamei. There's another halacha that the iser of achilas neveilas of tar is different than the din of the tuma on neveilas of tar. The iser achila applies to any part of the neveilas of tar that can be eaten, even if they don't have the title or the status of basar. Tuma only applies to something which is called basar. So says the Gemara, Oichem Nevelas Oiftar, if you eat from the Nevelas Oiftar, or you eat from the Shalal Shabayim, the cluster eggs that are connected to the ovary, Menat Samas from the bones, Menagina from the veins, Menat Basar Shanitlash Menachai, or from flesh that was detached from the bird while it was still alive, in all these cases, he's tahar, because it's not considered he ate something which is meant to be eaten. However, if he ate min eshkol shabayim, if he ate from the ovary, min a kurva from the crap, or min a ma'ayim from the intestines, or shehimcha as a chela v'gamay, or he melted the fat of the chicken and he swallowed it, in these cases, he's tamei. But we learned from here that if you ate from the shlal shabayim, you're tahar. Ask the Gemara, man tana, who is the tana that holds that the shlal shabayim is not considered as if you ate the meat? Amr Rabbi Yosef, the like Rabbi Yaakov. It's not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. Dika Rabbi Yaakov, if we're going to want to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov said in Mahayat Murim Begidin that if the eggs are still attached to the ovary, there are suris. From Rabbi Yaakov's psak, that eggs that are found still connected in the mother's stomach may not be eaten with milk, it's obvious that he considers such eggs to be part of the meat, of the flesh of the bird. So why wouldn't it not be made tuma? Amalei Abaye, to which Abaye responds, Mamai, this brisa is not necessarily a contradiction to what Rabbi Yaakov taught us. Because Dilma at Kali Kamar Yaakov Hasam, Rabbi Yaakov was speaking Linyan Surah. As far as the Isser of eating bas b'chalav, as far as the Isser of eating something from a bird together with milk, that's where Yaakov was being me'achmer. But as we said a moment ago, the halachas of bas b'chalav and the halachas of tumah do not travel together. Avelin yitumaloi. Maybe we should make a derabon in the getumah and say that if we're not allowed to eat it because it's considered meat, even if midoraisa it doesn't give off tumah, but derabon we should say gives off tumah. Answers the Gemara, push it tumahu. This would create more tumah in the world, but push it tumah midorabon like fashinan, and that's not something we do. So Rashi right away points out that we certainly find throughout Shas, many situations where Chazal did make gzeiris that something is tamei. But so why don't we say that Chazal should have made such a gzeira in this circumstance as well? So Rashi says that Chazal, this way I understand Rashi, chose where to do it or not. And the Ritva, elaborating on that, says that something which is common to happen, that's where Chazal sort of need to make a tumah. He says, given that, as we said, that the Veilus Oiftar is a unique tumah, and it's not Matamba B'maga B'masa. So therefore, since it's a very unique tumah, maybe over here, we should not, here, Chazal did not want to increase that type of tumah, because it's not your standard tumah. I saw the Rabbeinu Peretz says a similar approach. He says this is a tumah she'ein shchicha. A tumah she'ein shchicha, Chazal didn't make a gzeira. The Steichemed explains the Gemara. He says that wherever we find where Chazal made something tamei, it was in order to prevent people from becoming tamei. However, when we speak about Nevelas Oiftar, which as we said a few moments ago, is only metama Bebeis Habliya. It's only Matama Bachila by eating it. And anyway, it may not be eaten because it's coming from Nevela. Chazal said, we don't see a reason to make another Gzera to make a Tomei. Ask the Gemara, Mantana Mina Shlal Shabayim. Ask the Gemara, who's the Tana that said that Man Tana Mishlash Abayim Taimer. No, I'm sorry. V'chit Amalei Ba. V'chit Tema. Avekad Amri. A different version of this discussion. Man Tana. Who is the Tana that holds Mishlash Abayim? If you ate from the ovaries, you tamei. Omar. Rav Yosef. Rav Yaakov. It seems that it's following the opinion of Yaakov. Damar Imhayim Urus Begidin. If they're connected, they're surus. They may not be eaten with milk. So obviously he considers them meat of the bird. Amla Abaya, my Eshkoil, says Abaya, who says that the definition of Eshkoil means the Talyah be'Eshkoil that are connected? Dilma Eshkoil Gufay, maybe it means the cluster of the ovaries themselves. V'chitema, that's where we're saying it's considered meat. Ayo asks, says the Gemara, V'chitema Eshkoil Gufay Ma'ila Memra, of course it should be considered meat. It says, Mida the Haver, a korkavim b'nei ma'ayim that we learned are considered meat. So says the Gemara, just like we spoke about the korkavim b'nei ma'ayim, davgav the bas nenu that they're considered meat. Kiven ika de inch the loyachli, since the people that don't normally eat it, it's ruchashminen that still it's considered meat. Hachnami says the Gemara, that's what we're going to say regarding this. The kiven de inch the loyachli, there are people that don't eat ovaries. So I would think maybe it's not that should be enough that it should not be considered meat as far as Hilchus Truma. It's Ruch Lishminan that they have Tumas Nevela. Tan Rabbanan, Kosha Teshmish B'Yoyim. Any living thing that has relationships only by day, Noel B'Yoyim, will only be able to produce children born by day. Kosha Teshmish B'Layla, any type of living thing that has relations by night, noila belaila. Its children will only be born by night. Kosha tashmisha ben b'yom ben belaila, and anything that has relationships by day or by night, noila ben b'yom ben belaila, could have children by day and by night. And the Meiri says, the way to understand the Gemara, it's not necessarily connected to when the parents actually had relationships. Even if they didn't have relationships by But even if they had a relationship by day, they could have a baby by night or vice versa. As long as they are the type of living things that can have relationships both by day or by night, it's enough that the child can be born either by day or by night. Says the Gemara, Kasher tashmishi b'yoyim noel b'yoyim, zu tanagoylus. Kasher tashmishi b'layla noel b'layla, zu atleif, means a bat. Kasher tashmishi b'yoyim 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 b'layla, anything that can have relationships both by day and by night, refers to Adam, to human being, v'chad Adam elei, and anything like a human being, any that can have relationship both by day and by night. Says the Gemara, Amar Man, Kasher tashmishi b'yoyim noel b'yoyim, zu tanagoylus. Says the Rambam, why do we need to know this fact about if it had relations by day, it's going to have babies by day? Says the Gemara, L'chir Amari B'rei D'Rav Kahana. D'Amar Amari B'rei D'Rav Kahana. Bodak B'kino. If somebody checked the nest of the chickens, Bodak B'kino Shatana Goylem Erev Yontif. You checked the chickens Erev Yontif evening, and you didn't find an egg in there. And in the morning you come and you see an egg with teres. It may be eaten in Yontif. It's not going to be considered Be'ish in Alda B'Yontif, because a chicken doesn't have eggs by night. And it must be that that chicken was there, or that that egg was there from before. And the Chiddush Rashi says, is that even though you didn't find it there the day before, we still could be confident, and you even inspected it, still we could be confident it was born the day before. Ask the Gemara, V'loy Badak. But you did check, and you did see that there was no baby there, egg there. Isn't that clearly an indication that the egg was only born today? Eim v'loy Badak Yafa Yafa. We're going to assume that he didn't check it well. V'afil Badak Yafa, and even if the person tells us I checked it well, Eim Yotso. What Reuben must have happened was that most of this egg came out already Erev Yontif, and then the Chazor then re-entered its mother's stomach, and that situation, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that such a chicken egg that was mostly exited on Erev Yontif and then goes back and comes out on Yontif is not considered like a Beya, is not considered like a Beya Shenol de Beyontif, and it's Mota. Eini, says the Gemara, is this true? For Amar Rabbi Yosef and Shol Amar Rabbi Bodek Bekina Shatana Galus Erev Yontif. If you check your nest of chickens Erev Yontif right before night, and you didn't find any eggs in it, and in the morning you wake up and you see a beya there, it's Asura, because it must have been born that night, which was already Yontif. Answers the Gemara, as we mentioned earlier in our shir, there are two ways of fertilizing a hen. One is from a male, and one is safna ma'ara. This that we say that a chicken can only have eggs by day is when it was fertilized by a rooster. It was safna ma'ara, it could have it by night, and that's what must have happened here, that it had this, that's how it got fertilized, and that's why it was born on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, in the case that Rav Murray spoke about, where Rav Murray is saying, I'm sure that the chicken was born before Yontif, the egg was born before Yontif because it couldn't have possibly been born on the night of Yontif. Why don't we also say that what happened there was there a Mari Nami Eimam Arasafna? It was fertilized from its own heat. Answers the Gemara, B'deka Zoch Ba'da. The eggs that Amari was speaking about, there was a male over there. Ask the Gemara, just because there was a male there, B'deka Zoch Nami Eimam Arasafna, we still should be concerned that maybe it was Safna Ma'aram. Om Ravina, to which Ravina responds, Gemiri, we learned, kolecha de'ika zocha, wherever there is a male, the hen, le'safna ma'ara. Amar Rav Gafna, says the Gemara, v'at kama, and how much area does there have to be a rooster that we can be comfortable that it's not going to mate any other way? Amar Rav Gafna, mishmei d'rav, kol hecha, the shame kaila b'yamama. If the rooster and hen are so close to each other, one could hear the voice of the other, then we could be comfortable that it's not safna ma'ara, and we could be comfortable that it's going to the egg that comes must have come by day. Omer says the Gemara, Omer Ovid Rav Meri Uvda, and Rav Meri wants paskin based on these facts and halachs that we just learned, at Shitin Bati, where there was a male and a female within 60 houses that it was enough to be certain that that egg was not Safna Ma'ara, but it must have been from a Zohar, and it must have been born by day. So Rashi says, what does the Gemara mean, Shamei Kol B'Yamama? By day, sound doesn't travel as far as it travels by night. By night, you could hear sound much further. And the Gemara is saying that when we look at this, we look at it by day. The simple reason why, because by day, there's much noise going on. By night, there isn't so much noise. So that's why the chickens could hear each other voices. But Tysus seems to take the approach that by day, as the sun travels, that causes that there should be noise from that, and it blacks out other sounds, says the Gemara. However, even though we're saying that if there's a rooster next to the hen, it's going to mate that way. However, says the Gemara, Ika Nara, if there's a river between the hen and the rooster, Loi Avra, then they won't connect to each other. However, says the Ika Mabra, but if there's a bridge over the river, then Avra, then they will connect. The Ika Meitzer, but if the bridge that connects them is one of these narrow, difficult bridges to go across, then it doesn't go by. Says the Gemara, however, have a Uvda, there was a story of Avra Metzer, that they met each other by going over that difficult bridge, but the Gemara, the Rishonim explained, the Rajba says, that was a Nimtza, that was an aberration. But my Kumta, so says the Gemara, why did we explain Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul, who says that the egg that was found on Yontif, that wasn't there, obviously, Erev Yontif, so we assumed that it was born Yontif night, but it's Safna Mara, says the Gemara, my area Baduk, why specifically, if I checked and I saw no eggs there in Erev Yontif, I assume that I was born by night, Kiloi Baduk Nami, even if you didn't check, but we've learned the concept of Davash Yeshto Matirin. And the concept of Davash Yeshto Matirin teaches us that whenever we have a situation where ultimately it's going to be mutter, we discussed this extensively earlier in our Masechta, we don't take a lenient approach. Here, that is the exact situation. We're not sure when this egg was born. But so even if it's a Suffolk, we should be machmer, because we know by the time Yontif, after Yontif, the egg will certainly be mutter. So we see that from our Gemara, that even by a Suffolk to Rabbanah, as we learned before, we're machmer by a Davashesh Lematirin. So says the Gemara, Kiloi Badak Nami. Says the Gemara, Kiloi Badak Ema Masahava. Says the Gemara, Ihachi Ki Badak Nami. If you're saying that if you checked and wasn't there, why can you be confident that it wasn't, that it was born on Yontif? Maybe Ema Yatsaraz of a Chazrihi. Like Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan says that if it comes out and then it goes back in and then it comes out on Yontif, it's Mutter. And says the Gemara, for that we're not going to assume, because the Rabbi Yochanan Lashchiach, that is highly uncommon. So we didn't see the egg before Yontif. We could assume that it was born on Yontif. So our Gemara just taught us a interesting halacha, that eggs that are born from hens and roosters are only born by day. So the Marim Bruna makes a very interesting observation. We learned earlier in our Masechta that Peres HaNoshrim, if fruit falls from a tree on Shabbos, they may not be eaten. So he says, if you see an egg being hatched and a fruit falling from the tree at the exact same moment, you can be sure that it's not Shabbos, because it must have been by day. Because we're learning now that eggs born that way are always hatched only by day. So if you see such a circumstance, you can be sure that the egg was born, that the fruit fell by day, and there's no problem with Peres HaNoshrim. As for Yosef Engels Zatzal, he says that if this is true, that we could rely when we see an egg being born, that it's certainly by day. So throughout Shas, we have a question. How does the halacha look at Bein HaShemashos? Does the halacha look at Bein HaShemashos as day, or does the halacha look at Bein HaShemashos as night? So says Rabbi Yosef Engel, based on the Marie Bruna, that we should have a way of resolving this question. Look until what times eggs are hatched, and by looking until what time eggs are hatched, we'll know when Bein HaShmoshes is. He says, because of this question, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, it's obvious that this never happened. An egg never had a chick, an egg that was fertilized from a rooster, a hen and rooster was never born in the time of Bein HaShmoshes, which is a very bechiddush. The Pre Yitzchak has a different approach. He says that when Marie Bruna used the word Bein HaShmoshes, he wasn't referring to Bein HaShmoshes. That he wasn't referring to Bein HaShmoshes. He was talking about a cloudy day, and you're not sure when the egg was hatched. Is it still day or night? So this is a way of being able to tell, even though you can't look at the sun, they lived in a world where they didn't have watches and clocks. But, he says, if you'll see a chicken laying an egg during Bein HaShmoshes, says then instead of saying, oh, this is for sure raya, that this time is by day, we have to assume, as the Gemara just said, that maybe what happened here was that most of the egg came out already during the day, and then it re-entered the hen's body, and now it's coming out. And therefore, we can't have a raya one way or the other. V'am Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul Amarav, Haytum Meshchika, ground garlic, Sakanta legluya, or there's a sakana of gluya. We know that in time of Chazal, any food that was left uncovered was not allowed to be eaten because of a concern that of sakana, that a snake might have deposited venom. He says not only is that on a regular liquid, but even on ground garlic, there is such a shaila. The Torah, when it speaks about chametz, and sar is known as sourdough. The Torah says, "Shivus yom sar lo yimatzu b'beteichem, ki kol oichem mechmetzes v'nichrasu nefshehi." The Torah says also, this teaches us the isser of eating chametz and sar on Pesach. And if somebody chas v'shalom were to eat chametz or sar on Pesach b'mezid, they would be chayiv karis. Then there's another lav in the Torah. The Torah says, "V'lo yirah lecha chametz." This is what's known as Bayra Bayimotza, that the Jews now have ownership of Chametz and Tzar on Pesach. So we learned in our Mishnah that there's Machloikis by Shammai and by Hillel regarding the shear of Chametz and Tzar that you should be chayv on Pesach. By Shammai and Tzar by Kazayis, that the shear of Tzar is a Kazayis, the shear of Chametz is the shear of a Kaseves. And by Hillel says that both Sar and Kazayas, the shear is a Kazayas. Ask the Gemara, my Tamay de Bishamai, why would you say, ask the Gemara, that the shear of Bishamai and the shear of Sar and the shear of Chametz are different? What would push you in that direction? Says the Gemara, Im Kain, if we're going to say that they're the exact same shear, Lichter Rachmana says by Shammai, the Torah should have only written the Isser of Chametz, Veloy Basar, and the Torah would have never had to tell us the Isser of Sar. Vanamina, we would have reached the following conclusion. Sar, Veloy Basar, Vanamina. Machamch ain't Chemutzukasha. Chametz cannot make other foods Chametz. The Shir is Kazayis, Sar is more strict. Shechemutzukasha, that can make other foods into Chametz. That's what they used to use to help a dough rise, like Koshkein, that it's also in the Zachiv Karas. So now the question is, Sar the Kos Rachman Alamali, why did the Torah have to mention Sar separately? Loimelach teaches us by Shammai, the Shira Shalzeh, like a Shira Shalzeh. They don't have the same Shir. And therefore, what we say is that the Shir of Sar, which is a strict Chametz, because it can make other things Chametz, will be a Kazayas, and the Shir of Chametz will be a kesevis. And as all the Rishonim point out, saying that the shear of Sar should be less than a kezayis and the shear of Chametz should be a kezayis is not an option. Because the Torah has certain shiurim, a kesevis. We can't make up shiurim, we can't make up measurements that don't have a halachic principle, a halachic precedent. Ask the Shita, but we have a rule, Ein Onchim Adin. So yes, we could have understood the Halach of Sa'or through a Kavachoymer, but we have a rule of Ein Onchim Adin. So he says that since we're using the Kal V'Chomer only to teach us the shir, but not to teach us the actual Isser, that's not called Onshim Min Adin. He says, the Pnei Shua says that by Rabbi Mitzah, there's no Chiv Malkus, because it's a Lav Shem B'Maisa. This by Rabbi Mitzah is that you're not allowed to have Chometz in your possession. So you don't get a punishment for Bayra, by Matzah anyway. So he says, the only time we say the rule, says the Pnei Yeshua, Bayra, by Matzah, is only in a situation where there's an Oynish involved. Ein Oynshim Min Adin. But when there's no Oynish involved, there is no rule of Ein Oynshim Min Adin. Another Teretz I saw, that Sar is certainly Chometz. And since Sar is certainly Chometz, we know that there's an Oynish on Sar. The question is, what it have to be singled out? Obeis Hillel, how will Obeis Hillel respond that the Torah mentioned both Sar and Chometz? Why? Tzrichi. Because Obeis Hillel says, the Torah had to mention both types of Chometz. Dikas Rechman Sar, had the Torah only taught us the Halach of Sar, have a Mina Mishum, the Chimutz Akasha. As we just learned, Sar has the ability to make other things Chometz. Aval Chometz Ein Chimutz Akasha, Chometz that doesn't have that ability, Ein Meloi. Tzricha. Vikas rachmana chametz mishum the royal achila. It's edible. Ava sosh en royal achila. That's not edible. Even though it has the ability of making other things chametz, but it's not edible. Loy, I would think it shouldn't be aser. That's why tzricha, the Torah mentioned sor and chametz each, but nothing to teach about the not to teach us the halachas of chametz. At says the Gemara ubeishem leslo de zeri. Does Reb Shammai not agree with Reb Zeira said? Dom Reb Zeira, Pasach Kosu B'Chsar, Masayim B'Chametz. As we read the Pasach, Service Shomim Sa'alai Matzah B'Teichem, Kikol Oichem Achmetzes V'Nichsa Nefshahi. The Pasach did not end with speaking about Sar. Loi Melach, the teacher Sar Z'Chametz. And by saying Sar Z'Chametz, what we're saying is that they're both the exact same. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand is as follows. Linya Achila, when it comes to the Isser of Achila Chometz, Kula Amaloi Pligi, everybody will agree that the Shir Achila, both by Sar and by Chometz, is a Kazayas. Ki Pligi, the entire Machlokes we're having here is Linyan Beer, the Halacha by Rabbi Motza, that we have to burn the Chometz. But Shamis Savri Lo Yabin Beer Achila, and even though by Achila, both Sar and Chometz, the Shir is a Kazayas, that isn't going to be the halacha regarding beer. Basil Savri and Basil hold beer kachila. And just like by achila, everybody agrees the shear is always a kazayas, so too that will be the shear regarding Baal Yirah by Yimotzah. And I saw that the Ran has a beautiful explanation how to understand the machlokes by Sham Basil. We know, as we've been discussing in our entire shear, that there's the Issah by Yirah by Yimotzah and there's the Issah of Achilas Chometz. The question is, how do we look at the Isser of Bayirah Bayimotzei? Do we look at Bayirah Bayimotzei as really being Asr because the Torah was concerned that if you're going to own Chametz, you may come to eat the Chametz? If that's the basis of the Isser Bayirah Bayimotzei, it would make sense that whatever the shear is regarding Achila, that will also be the shear regarding Bayirah Bayimotzei. And that's the opinion of Beis Hillel. Whereas Beis Shammai's opinion is that the Isser by Yirah by Yimotzei is an independent Isser. It's not connected in any way to the Isser of Achila. So for Achila, Beis Shammai just said everybody agrees that the shear is a kazayas. But by Yirah by Yimotzei, which is a separate shear, the halacha is that you would not be chayav, the shurim of by Yirah by Yimotzei are different. There's an interesting shaila with speaking about chametz, speaking about sor. The Shas of Tshuva Space Sha'arim says that you're never going to be Chayef Kuris for eating Ksor B'mezer on Pesach. Because people don't normally eat yeast, as Beis Hillel told us a few, sourdoughs, Beis Hillel told us a few moments ago. And therefore, there's anyway never going to be a Chayef Kuris for eating Ksor on Pesach. The Shas in Tshuva's Levush Mordechai quotes a Yerushalmi that says that even though sor is really not edible, yechayiv karis, even for eating kazayas of sor, which is typically not an edible food on Pesach. Et menami, Amar Rav Yosef Chanina, the machloikas that we have of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only Inyan Beer regarding Bayi Rabbi Matzah. Avala in Achila, when we speak about the Shir Achila, Divrei Kakel, everybody agrees that Zeva Zeva Kazayis, the Shir Kazayis. Tanya Nami Hochi, and says, we learned in a Braisa the same. The Torah says, Lo Yirah Lecha Chametz, Lo Yirah Lecha Sor, Zeh Machlokes Ben Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. That is where we have Machlokes that we learned in our Mishnah of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. She Beis Shammai Amis Sor B'Kazayis, V'Chametz B'Kasevis, Beis Hillel Amrim, Zeva Zeva Kazayis. But that's only regarding the Isser of Bayi Rabbi Matzah. Nothing to do with the Shaila of Achila. Achila, everybody agrees, that the shear is a kazayas. So this is why people have to sell, the chametz, the meaning that we sell chametz to Akum, because we don't be over by raw by yamotzi. So I saw that the Chashuk Yechemin has a very interesting shayla. On Yontif, on Pesach, somebody had sold his chametz to the Akum, and he wrote in the shtar that any chametz that I have, I'm selling to the Akum. And then during Yontif, he discovered some bottles of whiskey that he did not realize that he had, and now what should he do? So he wants to burn it. He was over by Rabbi. He found chametz on Pesach. He did not have in mind to sell that because he didn't even know he had it. And he felt that the right thing to do is to burn it. On the other hand, it's a very noble approach, but maybe it's also. Because if he sold all of his chametz to the Akum, and he just said, any chametz that I own belongs, now I'm selling to the Akum, so the question, it's not his chametz. It belongs to the guy. And you know how to burn something you don't own? So Rabbi Yoshev was asked the Shaila. He says that, indeed, as far as financially, it's considered the Akum's property, and you will not obviously burn somebody else's property. He says, on the other hand, that at the end of the day, the Akum is only going to pay you. That's how we sell the chametz. The Akum is only going to sell you, only going to pay for the chametz that you deliver. And if you're not going to deliver this chametz, he's not going to pay for it. So it's not considered as you're burning the Akum's chametz. And Rabbi Yoshua said, you could burn that chametz. The halacha is that if somebody shechts a chayo oif, the halacha is that one must do kisui adam. So we learned in our Mishnah, hashoch chayva oif b'yomtif, if somebody shechts a chayo oif from yomtif, and you need to have earth to do kisui adam, so Beis Shammai said, take a shovel and do kisui adam. And Beis Hillel said, you're only allowed to do kisui adam if you have earth prepared before. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said ashoichit, which means the eved, that only be the eved in this situation where you shechted a bird or a chaya, and now what are you supposed to do? L'chatchila, it seems that everybody would agree that if you don't have prepared earth, you're not allowed to shecht a chaya oif. But continues the Gemara, let's learn the safe of our Mishnah. That means that you shouldn't shecht l'chatchila if you don't have earth prepared. B'chlal the Tanakama, the Beis Shammai who disagrees with Beis Hillel, suffer that even if you don't have earth prepared, yishchot. Says the Gemara, Haloi Kasha. What Beis Hillel said, lo yishchot, means lo yishchot v'chasakamar. He wasn't addressing Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai holds that if you shechted, and then it turns out you don't have any earth, you could dig up earth to do kisui adam. And Beis Hillel disagrees that even if you shechted and you discover that you don't have earth, you have no right to dig up earth to do kisui adam. But have asked the Gemara, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Ema seifa, umaydim, Beis Hillel agree, shem shochat, that if you did shecht on yontif and you did not have earth prepared, shiach v'bedek v'yichasa. So we see that Beis Hillel is talking about Beis Hillel is mekel b'di'evid. The reisha lav di'evid, and the reisha is not a di'evid situation. Amar Rabba, hachikam. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Hashoichit. If somebody wants to shecht a chay oif miyontif, and he doesn't have prepared earth, shebal malach, so he comes to ask the shayla, keitzer oimeloi, what should we tell him? Beis Shammai oimrim oimeloi, we tell him, shchoit chafeh v'kasei, shecht, and now you could dig earth to do kisei adam. V'selamim lo yishchet, that you don't shecht, unless you have earth prepared from beforehand, from before Yontif. Rabbi Yosef says, this is what the Mishnah means to say with Hashaychet. Hashaychet, Shabali Molech, Hashaychet that wants to shecht the chaya oif on Yontif, and he doesn't have prepared earth, and he wants to ask a shayel what to do. Ketzad, Oimeloi, what should we tell him? Beisham, Oimeloi, Lech Afar, Shchoit V'Kasei, go prepare earth. And then shecht. We shouldn't shecht. Unless you have earth prepared from before Yontif. So the machlokes between these two versions of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef is what, according to Beshamai, does the Rav tell this person? Do we tell him to first prepare the earth and then shecht? Or do we tell him to shecht and then prepare the earth? Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of the disagreement between Rabbi Yosef and Rabba? Amalei Baal Rabbi Yosef, Lema, Mar v'Rabba, that the point of disagreement between you and Rabba is with Rav Zeira Marav. You're arguing over what Rav Zeira taught us. Dar Rav Zeira Marav, Hashoichet, that when we want to do Kisa Adam properly, you have to put Ofel Lamata. Not only do you have to put earth on top of the blood, but you have to put blood on the bottom of the earth. Shenemar, the Pasuk, Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'shachvich as dam v'kisa ba'offer, offer loy nemer. The Torah doesn't use the word offer, ela ba'offer. Melamet shashachet tzarich sheitin offer lamatav offer lamala. And therefore, Abai says, the ma'ar, you Rabbi Yosef hold like Rabbi Zeira, and therefore, to properly do kisei adam, you have to have offer lamata. And that's why, according to Beis Shammai, they are allowed to dig earth to have earth available for kisei adam. You're allowed to dig it before the shechita. Why? Because you need to have earth on the bottom of the blood. And Rabbah, who says that only dig afterwards, is of the opinion that you're only going to cover it afterwards. Since you're only going to cover it afterwards, you don't need to have the blood. You don't have to have the offer prepared before. The Rav, Rabbi Yosef, is laid the Rav Zeira, Rabbah less laid the Rav Zeira. Amma lay, so Rabbi Yosef says to Abaya, Bein le didi, Bein le Rabbah, Islay the Rav Zeira. We both agree with Rav Zeira's halacha that you have to have offer on bottom and on top. The mass of a meika offer lamata. If you have offer ready prepared for the that you're gonna shecht on top of that offer, in then you're allowed to shecht, and then after the shechita you'll dig earth to have earth for on top of the blood. Eloi, and if you don't have offer on the bottom, loy. That Beis Shammai will not let you shecht. Even though he says that Beis Shammai takes this lenient approach that you're allowed to dig up earth to do kisei adam on Yontif, here, to dig up earth to have on the bottom, there Beis Shammai will not be lenient. Why? Because according to him, chashin dima mimach v'lo shachet, you're going to dig up the earth. And as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shiur, digging up the earth is a very complicated halachic, how to do it properly. And now you'll dig up the earth because you want to have it for the kisei adam, and you need earth on the bottom, and then afterwards you'll end up not doing shechita, so you will have done chil yonta for no good reason. I hold, dig up the earth because you want to do shechita. You may not do shechita. It is a concern, but to me, the bigger concern, says Rabbi Yosef, is l'sharis l'aslam nu mesimchas yontif. If I'm going to say it, if you don't have earth prepared, you can't dig up earth to have earth on the bottom, for we are concerned you may not end up shechting. On the other hand, we want you to have freshly slaughtered chayiv v'oif on Yontif, and that consideration, which is really the consideration of Simchas Yontif, is more important to me than any other consideration.